Welcome to another episode of Hearthstone Deck Techs, where we talk about popular archetypes and kind of talk about how to play those decks, substitutions, budget substitutions, goals with the decks, and different matchups. Today, we will look at our first wild deck. So the first episode, we talked about a Tier 2, Tier 3 Priest deck, but a very popular archetype. A very staple to the priest class, pretty much a defining type of archetype. Then our second episode, we talked about some standard decks to play for July. And now we are talking about a wild deck. And the reason why we are talking about the wild deck today is because on the one of the most recent episodes of Into the Wild, Craig and Nate and Mike Lowe talked about freeze mage or a combo mage, and the combo mage deck revolves around getting a Archmage Antonitis on the board with multiple Sorceress Apprentices and throwing free fireballs to the face. And this is achievable in wild because of Emperor Thurisian ticking down those combo pieces so you can play them all on one turn using Archmage into Sorceress Apprentice, into another Sorceress Apprentice, into double Molten Reflection, and then a bunch of fireballs, right? And that's what we're going to talk about today, but we are not going to talk about the list that Craig and Nate offered, which is Bananarama's list. We will talk a little bit about the cards they chose, but I'm going to show you another list, which I think is much more consistent and is easier to mulligan for. And I think that's one of the biggest things about this deck. So before we get into it, let's just go through the deck list. Two Mirror Images, one Blood Mage Thalnos, two Doomsayer, two Mad Scientists, two Novice Engineers, two Sorcerer's Apprentice, one Acolyte of Pain, two Arcane Intellect, two Cold Light Oracle, two Frost Nova, two Ice Barrier, two Ice Block, one Simulacrum. I don't know if it's Simulacrum or Simulacrum. I'm pretty sure it's Simulacrum. One Cone of Cold, two Molten Reflection, two Blizzard, one Emperor Thurisian, and one Archmage Antonitis. So like I said, the goal is to get the combo pieces in your hand, play Emperor Thurisian so that you can discount those combo pieces, then play the combo pieces and win. Now, this is very, very... Okay, this is not Freeze Mage, all right? Freeze Mage sometimes has a win condition like this, but it's more predicated on just getting damage to the face with Alexstrasza, having an ice block up, and then finding lethal in the subsequent turn. This is about a combo. Now, with every combo deck, you need to keep multiple things in mind. Number one is, how much mana do you need to get the combo off? Number two is, how likely are you to draw all the combo pieces by the time you have the mana to play it? Okay, so maybe you don't want to play combo mage, maybe you want to play something else, that's fine. These guidelines will still help you with that, okay? Now, let's think of another deck is like Quest Mage, right? A lot of people still play Quest Mage in Wild, and I may even try to build a Quest Mage list for Standard just to show you guys the deck building process and how that's developed. But Quest Mage is slightly different because completing quests is also a goal, right? For Wild, at least with this deck, you don't need to complete the quest, and that's one of the stronger points about the deck. You can rely only on draw and survivability in order to find your win condition. With Quest Mage, you need to rely on draw, survivability, and card generation, spell generation, in order to win, right? You have to complete the quest if you want to win with that deck. With this deck, you don't have to do this. All you have to do is draw the cards, tick them down with Thurisian, and then win the following turn. So, there's 30 cards on the deck. You need 10 mana. So you're limited to 10 turns. You're going to need 10 turns to win the game. So that said, you're looking at drawing 15 cards normally right off the bat. Now, assuming You need to draw the entire deck to reach the combo. You need to have one and a half more times card generation per turn in order to draw out the deck by turn 10. Okay, so it's important. It's important that once you get to turn 10, you're close to the end of your deck. Like you're, you know, maybe six or less cards in. You know what I mean? Because you want to make sure that you've gotten all those combo pieces, especially if they're, you know, you got bad RNG and they're closer to the bottom of the list, right? So that's why spell card draw becomes a very vital part of the deck. Now with Quest Mage, you need to have spell generation, right? But here we don't need spell generation, so we can use all those cards that we would use for spell generation, and instead put draw or survivability, and that's what makes this particular archetype a little more efficient and in some cases stronger, right? So we'll talk about that a little bit more and a little bit of the matchups. But in general, if you're gold fishing, you're looking for mulligan advice, you want to keep Mad Scientist. That's a 100% keep. Acolyte of Pain, that's a pretty decent keep. Arcane Intellect, I would say I would even keep if I know it's a relatively slow archetype. And Doomsayer is a snap keep if it's something that I expect to be aggressive. I don't really know how aggressive Wild is right now. It's Wild is pretty random. So if for sure, if I see a Mad Scientist, I'm keeping it. And I'm going to keep Arcane Intellect or Acolyte of Pain against most classes. Unless I know for sure this is like even Shaman or something, I'll keep a Doomsayer. You know what I mean? But I like to err on the side of risk in Wild. In Wild, I'm pretty big at taking risks. So I'll go ahead and mulligan pretty aggressively for a slower matchup, as opposed to Standard, where I mulligan very aggressively for aggro matchups, right? I always keep Doomsayer, throw back all the draw. In Wild, I'm a little more loose with the play. So Mad Scientist, 100% keep. Arcane Intellect, Acolyte Pain, pretty good keeps if it's control. Cold Light Oracle is good if it's Warlock, even against Druid. And Doomsayer is good against anything that you expect to be aggressive. Okay? Those are the gold fishing mulligans. That's what I would keep versus all, you know, in general against all decks. Versus particular types of classes, like against Hunter, I'd definitely keep a Doomsayer. I'd even keep Mirror Image against Hunter, and I keep Blood Mage Thalnos probably. Against Mage, you really need the card draw, so definitely looking for the Acolyte of Pain, and you're looking for the Arcane Intellects. Against Paladin, I would keep the Acolyte of Pain. I would definitely keep Doomsayer. If I had any of those cards in hand, I'd also keep Blood Mage Thalnos. And if I had the coin, I would keep Cone of Cold. Against Priests, I could keep anything. You can go pretty slow with Priests, you know, just the regular mulligan. Against Rogue, I'd be pretty aggressive, and I'd go very hard for Doomsayer. I would throw anything back and try to get Doomsayer, except Mad Scientist, right? 100% keep. Versus Shaman, same thing. Keep Doomsayer. Keep Mirror Image against Warlock. You know, keep Cold Light Oracle. Keep a lot of draw. And against Warrior, keep Acolyte of Pain for sure. Everything else is, you know, just a standard mulligan. Now, with playing this deck, the goal is to draw as many cards as you can, then survive, and then win with the combo. And the best way to think about what to do every turn is to follow this simple concept. Play creatures before spells. Play draw before secrets. Play your secret before survivability. And then play the combo last. And what I mean by that is if you're stuck between deciding to play Acolyte of Pain or Arcane Intellect on turn 3, you play the Acolyte of Pain. If you're stuck between playing, now we don't have Book of Spectres, but if you were stuck between playing Mad Scientist versus Book of Spectres, then you play mad scientist. You want to use the first few turns of the game, like I would say turns 1 through 5, to contest the board in any way. Now look at your the creatures in the deck are very small, right? Like Blood Mage Thanos, Doomsayer, Mad Scientist, Novice Engineer, Acolyte Pain, Cold Light Oracle. These do not have threatening bodies at all, and they're not very board competitive bodies either. But they still will have to be dealt with. So you can look at Mad Scientist as, you know, don't take 2 damage, you know. You can look at Acolyte of Pain of don't take, you know, prevent 3 damage. And that's how you need to look at the early game. You need to get those guys out early. And then, because the goal is to use your freeze effects, your stall effects, after turn 6, okay? Because think of what you have in the deck. You have 1 Cone of Cold. You have 2 Blizzards. You have 2 Frost Novas, okay? So you have 5 cards that stall the game. Ideally, you want to use those 5 cards as late as possible, because hopefully by those later turns, you've drawn the rest of the combo pieces. Another important thing is you should save the cheaper cards like Frost Nova for much later in the game, unless you get the perfect storm of... like, you know, like he's super wide on the board. You freeze the entire board and you can drop a Doomsayer. Like, and you know he has no Spellbreaker or no space to drop a Spellbreaker. Something like that, right? That's where it's okay to go Frost Nova and Doomsayer. But most of the time, you just want to put a Blizzard on that or put a Cone of Cold, you know? You want to save Frost Nova for much later so you can do something like Frost Nova plus Emperor, you know, right before your combo turn. You know, sometimes you drop Emperor and the opponent's just like, well, fucking, I'm going to attack the face. You're going to die anyway. So keep that in mind. Also, you never keep secrets, right? You always throw those away. And you don't play them before draw. Because, okay, here's another situation. Let's say it's turn 6 and you have an Ice Block. You have Arcane Intellect. And I don't know, you have a Novice Engineer or something. You know, you have no... let's not use that situation. Or you have an Acolyte Pain, you have an Ice Block, and you have an Arcane Intellect. You do not play the Ice Block there, okay, on a turn 6, unless you think he's going to hit you for lethal on that turn. Because it's better to see more of the deck than to put a card up defensively that will not be activated in the following turn, okay? Because you've just wasted a turn of mana to put something that did absolutely nothing for you, right? So you want to get Ice Block up much later in the game than earlier, you know? And keep that in mind. It's always more important to draw first than it is to play the secret, okay? There are some situations where you need to stay alive, so obviously, you know, your mileage may vary, but typically, like in the early parts of games, before boards have developed, if you can help it, then don't play the secret. Play something else first, right? That's pretty much the deck in general. Talk about a couple of cards and particulars in the deck. Novice Engineer is not a keep, okay? And for 2 reasons. Number one, there's better options, right? You'd rather have a Mad Scientist. You'd rather have an Acolyte. So mulliganing to maybe get those cards is more important. And the thing about Novice Engineer is the reason why it's in the deck is because it is draw 1. And the deck needs a good number of draw mechanics. So that's why you have Blood Mage. That's why you have Mad Scientist. That's why you have the Engineer. That's why you have the Acolyte Pain. That's why you have the Intellects. That's why you have the Oracle. Okay? You need all those options. And Novice Engineer is better than Loot Hoarder because, number one, you don't have to worry about it being silenced. And number one, later in the game, when you're trying to find the combo pieces, you need to know it right away. You need to be able to put Novice Engineer and draw that card to find it, as opposed to Loot Hoarder, which will have to die first before you find a card. You know, it's a much better top deck An Office Engineer is actually a very good top deck for combo decks, right? Because that is what you want. If you don't have the combo piece that you need, you want a card to find it. And this is a cheap and efficient way to find it. So you never keep Novice Engineer. This is a card you want much later in the game. Cold Light Oracle is good. Be wary of your hand size, right? You are drawing a lot, and Cold Light Oracle is one of the best cards for drawing. And keep that in mind. And remember, you can do very creative things with this deck against a handlock or some warlock deck. You know, let's say they have 8 cards in hand, or even let's say they have 8 cards in hand, right? You drop Doomsayer, like, and you know, you, I don't know, maybe you think they're trying to go hand heavy so they can play a Mountain Giant or something on turn 5 or whatever, 4. Let's say you go Doomsayer, then you play Cold Light on the same turn. So you force them to draw, fill their hand, and at this point in the game, they can't deal with the Doomsayer on an empty board, and they don't want to play a Giant into the board. So that means they're going to burn for another card. And that's just a great little, small little tidbit and trick that you can use to maybe just steal wins. That's a strong thing about combo decks. Because of the power of the draw and the threat of Cold Light Oracle, you can sometimes blow opponents out with that. In the same regard, you need to be wary of your opponent doing the same thing. there's actually a matchup. I would say that against Warlock, you might be willing to hold Emperor Thurisian and Archmage. If you get those in your opening hand, I would not throw them back. Just out of fear of, like, I don't know, Gnome Feratu or, you know, I don't know, them somehow dropping, removing that from your deck. Like, if they dirty rat it, though, it's not going to be that big of a deal. You know what I mean? These are not easy bodies to deal with early in the game, and you just get immediate generation. So, you know, those are cards you got to play around with. I think in terms of matchups, Druid is very much in your favor. They don't really have the burst to kill you. You know, they either, like, are big, they go big, so they spend the first few turns ramping, which is good for you because you're not feeling pressure, or they go wide with tokens, neither of which is a big issue for you. Hunter is difficult. I think it's pretty even, but Hunter Hero Power is just inherently tough for you, okay? You are on the clock because you imagine after 10 turns of Hunter, you know, which you need to last 10 turns, he's dealt 20 damage if all he did was do Hero Power. And Hunter is not only going to do Hero Power. He's going to be putting creatures on the board that you have to deal with. I think it's a tough matchup. Mage is by far the worst matchup in the game for combo mage, simply because counterspell. You know what I mean? And especially in Wild, you're looking at secret mage decks or tempo mages, and they definitely play the full suite of spells. And it makes it difficult. You know, you get explosive runes to kind of blow up your early game creatures and put some damage on your face. You have the counter spells, which are just slightly challenging to deal with because every card you play has a value that you need. It is a tough matchup for sure. Paladin is actually not too bad. You know, the 1-1, like, wide boards actually play into your favor, so it's not that challenging. Priest, a big priest is not that challenging because they're spending the early turns to, you know, do nothing, right? Until they get to the turn 5 or 6 when they throw out Shadow Essence or whatever it's called and, you know, play out some big boys at that turn. But by that time, you're about ready to start freezing the board or dealing with it. And remember, just because they played an 8-8, if you're at 30 life, you can let this 8-8 attack you. You don't have to use a freeze mechanic right away. Life is a resource, and remember, you have Ice Block. So you can afford to use some to take damage on turns and then use your freeze effects sparingly. Keep that in mind. Rogue is also a pretty difficult matchup. They're just so aggressive. The weapon is a very big deal, especially with Odd Rogue. You know, just hope that you have the anti-aggressive cards and then you draw well, because that is a very challenging matchup. Not as challenging as Mage, but pretty close. Shaman is not too bad. Like, once again, they go wide. You just have to deal with particular threats. But this is a typical aggressive matchup, and it's very much winnable. Warlock very much in your favor. By nature, they life tap, so they put themselves lower than normal. And sometimes you don't even need the combo. You can just get a big Archmage turn, take off some mirror images or something, fill your hand with a bunch of fireballs anyway, and then find lethal early. And lastly, Warrior. Warrior's pretty even. The thing about Warrior is in previous matchups, they could just out-armor your damage, but they can no longer do that. So, they could be at 60 health or 80 health or whatever. But if you play the combo, you're still gonna find that damage quick enough. So it's not too bad, but you're still predicated upon finding pieces well. So I would put that matchup in our favor, but very, very slightly. And that is pretty much combo mage in general. Remember when building the deck, like I said, think about these main principles. Drawing and survivability, and then combo pieces. And if you're building quest mage, you add one more principle to that, and that's spell generation. And there are a certain number of cards you want for these. Like I think you should have 1, 2, 3, 4, like anywhere between 7 to 9 cards that draw. Like, well, 7 to 9 drawn cards in the deck. And what I mean by that is, like, if you look at Mad Scientist, when Mad Scientist dies, it draws you a card, right? It puts a card from your library into play. So I would consider that one card draw. Novice Engineer, it draws a card, so I consider it one card draw. Cold Light Oracle draws two cards, so I consider it two card draw. And I would put, like, Acolyte of Pain at in the middle of that, like 1.5. So in our deck as it stands, we have a Blood Mage, that's one draw. We have two Scientists, so that's three draw total. We have Novice Engineer, so that's five draw. We have an Acolyte, so let's say 6.5. And then we have two Cold Lights, right? So we're looking at 10.5. So it's pretty draw heavy. And that's good. I think that's, especially with combo, a big combo that has so many pieces, you need to draw as much as possible. So, yep, that is the deck in a nutshell. Something I want to touch upon were different options. So let's talk about Craig and Nate's list that they posted, which had two Arcane Artificer, a Book of Spectres, and a Witchwood Piper. I think the Witchwood Piper is only playable because you have the Artificer, because Artificer guarantees that Blizzard's going to do damage. Basically, this is a turn 10 play where you're low on health. You play the Witchwood Piper. Well, no, you can't even do that. So I honestly think Arcane Artificer is a little too overrated here, because number one, this is not a card you want in an opening hand. You already want to send back combo pieces. You already want to send back some of the freeze effects. So Arcane Artificer just doesn't fit. It's just another card that's later in the game that you want, that makes turns clunky. So I don't like it. But if you're going to play Witchwood Piper, I think you definitely play Arcane Artificer. And if you don't play Arcane Artificer, then you don't play Witchwood Piper. The other card is Book of Spectres. And obviously this is good with the more creatures that you have in the deck. But remember, we still have about the same amount of creatures. Like, Craig's deck doesn't have Acolyte of Plane. It doesn't have Blood Mage Thanos. We have those. I actually think Book of Spectres is pretty good. And I would probably get rid of a mirror image to play it. One mirror image to play it. If you're finding that your matchups are a little more control-based, slower. Book of Spectres is good. Like, sure, you throw away spells, but late in the game, you're typically not looking for spells to survive. You're typically looking for the combo pieces. And the combo pieces outside of Molten Reflection are all creatures. So keep that in mind. I actually would play that Book of Spectres in there, probably get rid of a mirror image. Or since it is a draw mechanic, we can maybe even drop one of our draw mechanics, but I don't know. It's always nice to have more draw. So that is a deck in a nutshell. I'm actually thinking of playing that for the rest of the season. If I'm actually going to try to build Exodia Mage in Standard, and we'll see if I can make a decent Exodia Mage deck. I don't know if the meta is right for it. I actually feel it is, but you know, I am unsure. But if we can do that, then that'll be good. If not, then I will be playing this, and I will be playing a Dragon Paladin list for Wild. And I think I may just play Wild for the rest of the month. I haven't been playing much Hearthstone. You know, I'm looking to get a little more Wild games, a little more diversity as we wait for the new set. So now that's done, let's talk a little bit more about the new set for Hearthstone. Let me actually pull up the cards, the new cards. This is called the Boomsday Project. I believe that's the name of the new set, and it revolves around mechs and stuff. And what we're going to start doing in the podcast, I think at the beginning, you guys let me know if, would you want the breakdown of cards at the beginning of the podcast or at the end after we've talked about a particular deck? You know, let me know what you think. For today, we'll talk about it here at the end of the episode. First of all, if there was ever a time to spend money on Hearthstone, now's the time. For $80, you get 80 packs, you get a golden legendary, you get the card back, you get the hero portrait, the Mecha Jiraxxus, which is the warlock hero, and you get that's what you get. And you get that for $80. There's also a $49.99 version. But, you know, $80 for 80 packs, that's a dollar a pack. You can never, like, beat that value. That is as cheap as it gets in terms of Hearthstone. So certainly take a look at that. The deck is more of a engineering type of deck, similar to Goblins and Gnomes. The new mechanic is magnetic, and what that is you can buff an existing creature with magnetic and give it the buffs of the creature in your hand, right? So, for instance, there's a new Hunter card. It's 3 for a 2/2 called Spider Bomb. It is a mech. It has magnetic, and it has Death Rattle, destroy a random enemy minion. So if you have, another mech on board, you can put this Spider Bomb onto it, and I believe it gives it'll give it +2/+2. It'll give the health and the attack, and then it will give the magnetic. I'm not really sure about that part. I have to double check, but I'm pretty sure that that's what it does. 3/4/2/2 is not great, but I don't think this card is bad. Death Rattle, destroy a random enemy minion. Maybe Control Hunter is finally coming around. I would not write that card off. It is a rare. It seems pretty good. Another neutral card we have is Omega Defender. It's 4 for a 2/6. It has taunt. Its battle cry is, if you have 10 mana crystals, gain +10 attack. So obviously if you drop this any turn after turn 10, you get a 12/6, and with taunt, that's a big boy. Now, it's an epic card. I don't know how I feel about this. It is tricky. Like, this is certainly going to be crazy in Arena. It's going to be a great Arena card, okay? In Standard, I don't know. We really have to see more cards, but, yeah, you know, these are pretty strong cards. Like, just being able to play a big-ass creature for 4 is nice. Now, the thing about this is the taunt is actually a downside because 6 health is not a lot, so aggressive decks are going to be able to kill this. You know, a lot of decks will be able to just kill this if they can attack to it. But if it didn't have taunt, you could hide it behind bigger taunts, right? It's 4 mana. So, it's, you know, maybe Blizzard was careful about the wording or the abilities on a card, and they certainly did that with this card, so it's interesting. And we have seen so far 4 class cards. Now, we'll go into rarity right now. So the first one is a druid card. It's called Biology Project. Each player gains 2 mana crystals. Guys, it gains 2 mana crystals for 1 mana. And that is not empty mana crystals. Okay, so Wild Growth says you pay 2, you gain 1 empty mana crystal. Right? So Wild Growth gets you from 2 on turn 2 to turn 4 on your next turn, right? what this does is this is basically a one mana nourish, except your opponent gets the benefit too. And you know what? The card is broken. This card is nuts. Okay? Simply because it changes deck building in a way that's... First of all, you get the mana crystals before your opponent, right? So that means, you know, on turn one, you could pay Biology Product Project plus Wild Growth. So you could go from turn one, three to four to five mana on turn two. Yeah, your opponent, he'll be at three mana or four mana on his turn, but does it matter? I don't think so. I think this is an extremely, extremely powerful card. You're giving up ramp advantage for ramp speed. What I mean by that is if you play Wild Growth, you get plus one advantage on your opponent per turn on mana. If you play Biology Product, you get minus one mana advantage. You know what I mean? Because he's always going to be a card ahead of you now. But you know, you have other ramp cards to kind of negate that. And it doesn't matter. Like even if all druids play this card, and all opponents decide, hey, all the druids are playing this, so now I can play greedier decks. It doesn't matter. Druid is still the greediest class, and it's going to do the greediest things. Biology Project, I think, will be a guarantee in most decks. You know, there are issues with it, right? Like, oh shit, what if I give a odd paladin more mana every turn? That means he just can go wider on the board earlier. While that's true, that also means that your Spreading Plague becomes a lot stronger. And I think this card is very powerful, very underrated. Well, actually, I don't know. I don't think it's underrated. I don't see how you could underrate this card. I think this card is worth all the hype. It is very strong. Next card is Electra Storm Surge. It is a Shaman Legendary. 3/4, 3/3 Elemental that has Battle Cry. Your next spell this turn costs twice. I don't know. You know, I don't know. There are no neutral spells, right? So you think about all the Shaman spells. You have, like, all these board things. You have Volcano. You have Lightning Storm. You got Healing Rain. Yeah, it is a cheap card. So maybe we'll get to see more spell-based shaman decks. Maybe. I don't... it's only three mana to play. So this is going to be... you can fit this with, you know, the entire spell set for shaman. But I'm still on the fence about how good that is. Like, you know... yeah, I don't know. It might be pretty good. I mean, this might be... you know, Shudderwalk worthy, right? It is a battle cry. You know, you drop this late in a game and you play one Healing Rain, you've healed for 24. So I would auto play this. Like, if I had this card right now, I would already find a way to play it. But I just don't know how strong it is, right? I'd play it. I just don't know how strong it would be. Now here's another card. A Rogue Spell and a Legendary Spell. And finally, we have Legendary Spells. It's something I really wanted. I actually want neutral spells, but, you know, I'll take a class Legendary Spell any day. I think all the classes have them. You know, obviously Druid already has a Legendary Spell and Ultimate Infestation, right? But, you know, let me stop being facetious for a moment here. So, we have a five-mana rogue legendary spell. It's called Mira's Unstable Element, and it just says draw the rest of your deck. So on turn five, you can draw 25 cards, 20 cards, whatever it is you have left in the deck. That sounds ridiculous, okay? But here is a thing about it. Like, obviously, you don't have more than a 10-card hand size. So... in traditional builds, like, this could probably take up a gadget stand or a gadget stand slot, maybe even a sprint slot, kind of like a point where you just, you know, I don't know. Where does this fit? Maybe you have a very aggressive face rogue And then, you know, when you've dumped your entire hand, you play this and just hope the next 10 cards you have are enough to win the game, you know? Or maybe you combo it. Maybe you use a deck that's got a lot of cheap cards and play into a Hemet and then draw, you know, a remaining 6 or 7 cards that are combo pieces, or I don't know. You know, I don't know. It's interesting to see, but I'm glad a spell like there is out there, because this clearly is, the effect is clearly powerful. Anytime you can manipulate the entire card base, something broken can happen. Okay. And I don't know what it is, but I would keep an eye on Mirror's Unstable Element. I think, you know, it's not going to fit in every rogue deck. That is for sure. But it's worth building around. Like, maybe you could do something with Kingsbane. There's so many ideas, right? So many good things that this deck could do. So, or that this card can apply. And I think that's very cool. Of all the cards on the set right now, I'm really looking forward to seeing what this can do. So, and I'm really excited for the rest of the cards too. The next card and the last card we have is a 3-mana mage legendary. It's a creature, Stargazer Luna. Oh my goodness. 3-mana for a 2/4. So right off the bat, it's already got a stat advantage over other 3 drops, right? Because you're looking at 3/3s, or, you know, well, 3/4 is really well statted, but this one's 2/4 is not bad. After you play the rightmost card in your hand, draw a card. That's what it says on the card. Now, 2/4, this typically is not going to die on turn 3, okay? So it has a fat body. This is a decent-sized body for its mana cost, so that's good. So it means you can play this on curve in some situations, right? Especially if you think about tempo mage or decks that have mana worm or, you know, whatever. Like, they get out on board early and dump cards. Like, turn 1, tempo mage. Turn 2, sorceress apprentice coin fireball, right? Or a frostbolt. Turn 3, Stargazer Luna. Typically, your opponent has probably tried already hard to deal with the mana worm and with the sorceress apprentice. So they may not have the correct answer for Stargazer Luna. And at that point, anything you dump, you just fill with another card in your hand, assuming it's on the right side. So it's interesting to see how that's going to help develop that archetype. And at the same regards, there are other archetypes that are underdeveloped. Maybe Exodia Mage makes a comeback. Although, you know, slower decks, this card's probably not as strong as a slower deck, simply because in slower decks, you need to use those cards. You need to use your cards wisely, right? And with this card, you have to play the rightmost card. I think this is an interesting mechanic. I like the way they've built that, and I'm interested to see how other cards have those same. Similar mechanics. All in all, there's 135 cards in the set right now. 6 have been released, and I think we're looking at the expansion coming out August 7th. So that's just a couple weeks away. So save up your gold, get the pre-purchase now if you can, and get excited, because in a next month we are going to be freaking playing some fun Hearthstone again, and I like it. Next week, we're going to go back to talking about regular standard decks, I think, and talking more about the card reveals. If you have an archetype that I'm saying so many times, geez, sorry. If you have an archetype that you would like me to discuss on the podcast, let me know. You can follow me on Twitter. My Twitter is twitter.com/KenSanityHS. Let me know what deck we can talk about, or questions, anything. I'm there to help and answer things, and definitely what you are playing. I have a fun deck that I'm playing, a Dragon Paladin deck in Wild. It's actually doing really good for me. I'm surprised at how well it does. I was thinking about talking about it, but since it's so fringe, I wanted to talk about something that's a little more popular, and that's why we talked about the combo mage today. Anyway, I hope you found that helpful or insightful. at some level, maybe you already knew how to play combo mage, and you know, maybe there was a trick or an idea that you didn't think of that I brought to your attention, and I hope I did. And certainly I'm not the best player in the world, so there's more I could possibly learn, and I'm interested in seeing if there are any things that are different with how you play it, and I'd definitely love to discuss it. So I will catch you guys next time. Adios.